If you have it, please read along with us. If not, take some time to read that when you can. 1 John chapter number 1, verse number 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. Verse 2. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness, and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and is manifested to us. Verse number 3. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Verse number 4. And these things we write to you that your joy may be full. Father, thank you for your word today. Bless your word. Bless your servant. Give us an ear to hear and receive it. And let us grow thereby. In Jesus' name, amen. We talk about fellowship a lot, but the word fellowship is defined as companionship. It means company, a community of like interest. The word fellowship is also defined as an activity or an experience or a feeling shared by a company of friends or equals. So worship, fellowship is an activity, it is a feeling, and it is also a community. In John's first letter to the believers, he uses the idiom of fellowship as a theme for his writing. Throughout the book of John, you will see him say things like this: God is light, God is love, God is life, and light. And you'll see that theme throughout the letter. But John wanted the believers to understand that we are believers and we are in fellowship with him, that meaning Jesus Christ. And this truth that we are in fellowship with God is really appreciated. It's especially appreciated when we go through tough times like we're going through right now. It's not enough to believe that God is out there somewhere. But we need to know, especially in times like this, the great revelation is that we share with God in his love, his light, and in his power. In fact, sharing is the very basis of real fellowship. You can't have real fellowship until you share something. Keep that in mind. That's what fellowship means. It means sharing. Fellowship means sharing experiences that we have with God. And think about that, that you can have an experience with God. And it means sharing the experiences that we have with each other in life. And it means living in a community of like-minded people. The Greek word here for fellowship means that we share in communion, that we receive help from one another, and that we have a partnership with each other and, watch this, with God himself. We also share with God by way of his Spirit, the Holy Ghost. God is not out there somewhere, but God is right in here. Take that to the bank with you when you're going through something, that God is in me. In John's time, he also had to deal with doctrines of devil. Same thing that we do now. There are doctrines out there that are really just doctrines of devil. They include doctrines of unbelief, including those who actually doubted the very existence of Christ, whether Jesus actually came, whether he was there, or they doubt his deity, that he is, in fact, the Son of the living God. So John, in his writing, he assures the believers that have seen him and those that came along after Jesus ascended into heaven, they all needed that assurance that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And John gives him this testimony. we that were around when Jesus was on earth, we handled him. We saw him with our own eyes. And he wanted the letter that he sent to be something tangible, something that they could hold on to, because they came to believe on Christ as we did after Jesus ascended into heaven, after the resurrection. And I'm praying that my words today will also serve as a word of encouragement. Be encouraged, knowing that you are not alone in your struggles. You have a community of believers that are around you. Look at your screen. They're on there right now. And they're there to support you and to let you know that you are not alone. You are in fellowship with that same Jesus that John knew and talked about in his writings. So what does it mean to be in fellowship with Christ? Simply put, it means that Jesus shares everything with you, and that includes the tough times. Think about this. The Bible says that Jesus suffered all of the same things that we as human beings go through. He suffered hurt, heartaches, desertions. He suffered hatred. All of these things were a part of his life. He had temptations. He had tests. So Jesus knows exactly how you feel because he's been through everything that we have been through. Because of this, Jesus can fully understand when you pray, and he understands your complaints. And more importantly, he's able and qualified to help you through them. He shares in your pains, and he shares in your triumph because you are in fellowship with him. In fact, the Lord, who is the King of Kings, he decreed that you are eligible to fellowship with him anytime you desire. Anytime you want to have fellowship with Jesus, you can have it. In the book of Revelation, chapter number 3, verses 20 and 21, these are the words of Jesus. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him and he with me. Verse 21, he says, to him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Let the church say amen. I love the book of Revelation because the symbolism is so powerful. Jesus doesn't just sit down on a throne. He sits down in the throne. And he says, not only am I sitting down on the throne, John saw him sitting on the throne, but he says, I'm going to grant that all believers that are in fellowship with me will also sit down with me in my throne. What that means is, for all of your struggles, there's a day coming where you too will reign. It happens because right now you are in fellowship with him. Let the church say amen. This scripture gives us, in Revelation, it gives us a picture of a king, Jesus, who ventured out from his castle to visit and to spend time with his subjects. The king, Jesus, he wants to fellowship. That's why he left the castle. He didn't stay in the castle or in heaven, but he left the castle to come and to have what we're calling today fellowship with you. But he does not break the door down. The king says, your home is your castle. And if you want me to come in, I'm going to knock on the door and you must open the door. That's a very great revelation about fellowship with Christ. He's a gentleman. You have to open up the door. Let the church say amen. That's a great revelation about having intimacy with Christ. Even today, even right now, the Lord wants to have fellowship. He wants to share dinner. He wants to sup with us and us with him. But you have to open up the door. If you want to have intimacy with Christ, you have to understand that he's knocking on the door, and you have to take the time to let him in and let him know that he's welcome in your life. Just lift your hands right now and say, Lord, you're welcome in my life. You're welcome in my life. We have an open invitation to fellowship with him where we are. And I love that imagery that's in Revelation. He doesn't just call us up to heaven to fellowship with him. He comes where we are. That means whatever it is you're going through, whatever you're faced with today, the Lord is still there. He doesn't mind coming in the ghetto. He doesn't mind going in the valley. He goes to the suburbs. Wherever you may be, he's right there, and he's knocking on the door. Hey, if you let me in, I'll come in and have dinner with you. And when the Lord comes with dinner, he brings what we need. Amen. You don't have to say, Lord, I would invite you in, but I don't have anything to give you. He said, that's all right. I have everything you need. All you have to do is open up your heart, open up the door. And I promise, if you open up the door, he says, I will dine with you and you can dine with me. If you need help today, he's still there. And when he comes, he brings on the plate, along with blessing, he brings help. So whatever help you need, he's got that. If you need treasures, when the Lord comes to dine with you, he brings his treasures with us, because fellowship is sharing. He doesn't just come with a crown and a robe and sits there and says, get at my feet and worship me. But he is a compassionate king. And he says, you know what? I have a crown. I'm going to give you one too. You know why? Because we're in fellowship with each other. We're not just his subjects. We are in communion and real fellowship with him. But remember, you must open up the door. And of course, getting back to John, he wanted us to know that fellowship with Christ means fellowship with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is a very important revelation for people, especially during John's time, because everybody knows God, but everybody didn't know that who Jesus was. John made it clear that when you worship and fellowship with Jesus, you have fellowship with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. When you have seen Christ, you have seen the Father. We find that in St. John chapter 14, verse number 9. It was important to John that believers knew that Jesus Christ was the embodiment, the very embodiment of the God of heaven. Understand, if you had heard about Jesus being a man, you may not automatically know that. So John wanted the believers to understand, when you saw Jesus, you were seeing God. When you pray to Jesus, you're praying to God. Jesus said, no man can come to the Father but by me. This is all part of the fellowship of being with Christ. You are also in fellowship with the God of heaven. Not only that, but if he is in you by the infilling of the Holy Ghost, you have Christ in you. If you have Christ in you, you have God in you. In St. John chapter 14, verse 23, this is what Jesus said. If any man loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. And we will come to him or her and make our home with him or her. Do you understand how powerful that is? Christ said, if you are a believer in him, you are also a believer in God. And so Christ, the Son and the Father, will actually make a home in you. So right in your tabernacle, in yourself, is the embodiment of the temple. Christ, the Son, God the Father, is right there in you. Just grasp that for a moment, that God is in me. If that doesn't encourage you, I don't know what will encourage you. God is with us. Fellowship also means sharing in power. And this is something that the church really needs to grasp right now. We share in the rule, the R-U-L-E of Christ. We are sharing in his rule. He allows us to rule and to reign with him, not just when we get to heaven, but on earth as it is in heaven. Fellowship means sharing God's power. So I want to encourage all of us, including me, to stop feeling helpless, stop feeling hopeless, and simply start believing God. Not believing in God or believing that there is a God, but believing God. Let the church say amen. This is what true fellowship means. Fellowship with Christ means fellowship with other believers as well. This Zoom service is actually a fellowship. It is designed to keep us connected and to give us a way to share God's word, to share our experiences, to share our testimonies with each other. That is very important because this is how we overcome, when we share the testimony of Christ. Here's a promise for you. This is what Jesus said. When believers get together and they're on the same page, I'm adding that part, something wonderful happens. We find this in the book of St. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18, verses 19 and 20. These, again, are the words of Jesus. Listen to what he said. Again, I say to you, this is powerful, that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Verse 20. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. Let the church say amen. What that means right now, I have a number down at the bottom of my screen. I know how many people are here. It's more than two or three. I guarantee you that Christ is here right now. We are experiencing his power as we fellowship with one another. That's a promise. Two or three get together in my name, touching and agreeing, which means on the same page, having the same idea, the same mindset. He promised, I will be there. So everybody just lift your hands and say, Lord, thank you for being here. Wow. Thank you. You're here right now. And that's the thing about it. You don't have to feel good to know that he's there. Everything doesn't have to be working to know that he's there. He's here because he promised to be here. And when he comes, he's going to share help and fellowship with us. This is the reason why the enemy sows so many seeds of discord among believers, because the devil is aware of the promise that when we get together and we fellowship, that Jesus will be there. When we fight each other and we refuse to worship and fellowship with each other, what we're actually doing is robbing each other of power. We're robbing each other of answers, of solutions. Let the church say amen. Many churches have what we call, and we do too, fellowship halls. We have all of these fellowship halls. But how many of us realize the true power of fellowship in the spirit? Fellowship or fellowship hall, we should share more than just food. It's not just for potlucks. It's not just for Mama's greens and Aunt Mabel's mac and cheese. Fellowship halls should be a time when we share experiences, power, and information, and encourage each other and put our arms around each other, because Jesus said, whenever you do that, I will be there. That is the whole concept of communion. When we have communion, That's the ultimate in fellowship, because we're sharing the bread, we're sharing the wine, and it becomes the broken body and the blood of Jesus. That's why anything wonderful can happen in a real communion service, because our minds now are all on the same page. We're focusing on Jesus Christ, his power, who he is, what he's able to do. Today, we don't have the bread and we don't have the wine, but we're going to have communion with each other. And the power of God is going to encourage you. You're not going to leave this screen the same way you came, because you now understand that I have fellowship with God and with my brothers and sisters in Christ. Let the church say amen. We need to share in our fight against the powers of darkness, because that's what's happening. I mean, y'all know that, right? We're just in warfare. I said that on last week. And when you're in warfare, it's important that every once in a while you take some R&R, rest and react, relaxation, where you can rest for a moment and get with your brothers and sisters and know that, you know what, at least here, there's no bullets flying over my head. I'm going to go back to the battlefield when I get rested, but right now I just need some rest. I need somebody to encourage me and to tell me it's going to be all right. Let the church say amen. In John chapter 15, Jesus put it this way. He says, I am the true vine, the main vine. And he says, you, or we, disciples, are the branches. We are only powerful, Jesus said, when we are connected to him. That connection to him, today, we're going to call fellowship. That's where we get our power from. We are in fellowship with him. He also gave us another powerful promise that we should cling to when we feel alone and when we feel powerless. St. John chapter 15, verse 7 and 8. I'm just giving you some scriptures today. We need some encouragement. He said, watch this. If you abide in me, another way of saying that is if you have fellowship with me and you're connected with me, he says, and my words abide in you. We have the word of God in us, the spoken word, the written word. He said, now watch this. You will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. Verse number 8, he says, this is the powerful part. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so will you be my disciples. Let the church say amen. See, this is real fellowship. The Son comes to us and he says, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to empower you. I'm going to give you what you need. When you come together and you're connected to the main vine, you are connected to me. And he says, you can ask what you will. Pray for what you want. Go to him in prayer and pray. He said, and not only will I be pleased, he said, but the Father will be glorified, because that's the purpose of real fellowship and being connected to him, is that we give God glory through our lives. And by the way, glory is not just happy times. Glory is going through and coming out victorious with a praise and a testimony that, yes, I went through some tough times, but God brought me through. Somebody say, give God some glory. Give God some glory. Amen. And that's the whole purpose of fellowship, so that we can become productive. Not just so that we can have church and see who has the biggest church and the best praise team. That's not what this is all about. The Lord wants us to bear a lot of fruit, and he wants that fruit to remain or to become stable so that it can be connected to the vine and grow much fruit. I like to eat grapes in the morning. And one of the things I noticed about grapes is that the vine is, they're connected to the vine, and it goes all up on the inside of that grape. And so I like to take the grapes. This is off screen. I'm just sharing with you this morning. I'd like to take those grapes and put them in a blender. And if I don't break that vine the right way, I'll have vines when I'm trying to drink the drink. That's how much they're connected. It's all up in them. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? That's what the Lord says about us. We should be so connected to him that it takes some effort to actually connect us. And you know what the Lord does with the grapes? He smashes them up so that they can make wine. So sometimes what the Lord does, he's just using us as a grape. He's just smashing us, putting his feet on us, and making that great wine. That's what happens when we are connected to Christ. We bear much fruit. And he said, if you bear a lot of fruit and your fruit remains, then are you his disciples? Real fellowship dispels hopelessness. When we really get together, it's tough to be discouraged when you get together. You know, even if you don't feel good, you try to look like you feel okay. You okay? Oh, yeah, I'm okay. Well, that's because you're trying to fellowship. We don't usually get together and go, so tell me your problems. Yeah, I had something worse than that. That's not real fellowship. But we build each other up. Even though we know that we're going through, we build each other up. It dispels hopelessness. When we connect with Christ, our faith becomes bolstered. And we become productive again. Do you know that trouble can mess with your productivity? Hard times can mess with your faith. So we need to connect with each other so that we can become energized, just like connecting one hot wire to another. That's what fellowship is. We're connected and we get power from each other. Let the church say amen. I just want to remind you this morning that whatever it is you're going through, you are not alone. You have fellowship with your pastor, with your church family members, fellowship with John the Apostle. You have fellowship with Jesus Christ, and you have fellowship with God the Father. And there's so many more scriptures I could share with you about fellowship, but let me close this morning with this one, because it is a reminder to us to stay connected to each other. Remember this when life gives you that I need a drink feeling. Life can do that, you know, give you that feeling, man, I need a drink, I need something. Okay, y'all never been through that. All right, Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 18 through 21. Very familiar scripture about drinking. But it gives a different, I have a different revelation about this when it comes to fellowship. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. Paul says, and be not drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Verse 19, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, verse 20, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, verse 21. And he says, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Let the church say amen. The word dissipation is in the New King James Version. In the King James Version, the word is excess. And the concept of that word that they translated dissipation here in the New King James Version means it denotes diluting something, okay? It means diluting something or robbing it from power. So here's the idea of be not drunk with wine. The idea is that when you are drunk, it causes people to lose power. It dilutes your power. So Paul says, when we get together, we're not going to just get together to get drunk. He says, don't drink or use other drugs. He says, but instead be filled or refilled with the Spirit of God. Did you catch that? He's not just saying don't drink. He's saying when you get together, don't drink wine, but be drunk in the Spirit, because that's where your power comes from. You drink regular wine, it will dilute your power. But when you become filled and refilled with the Spirit of God and you start singing spiritual songs and psalms and encouraging one another, that's where your power comes back. Fellowship is better than drugs. Real fellowship is better than a drink. So I'm encouraging you to stay connected to God, but also to stay connected to each other. Don't be afraid to share your hopes and even your fears with people that you trust. Share them. Ask them to pray with you. Ask them to pray for you. Be open and honest and say, you know what? I'm having a problem with this. Can you pray with me? I'm not going to tell everybody, but I'm just telling you because I trust you, because I need help right now. Speak into the lives of your brothers and sisters in Christ. Not just a powerful self-help word, but speak the word of God. Speak spiritual songs. Find somebody to be thankful with. I appreciate it with what Co-Pastor said this morning. Find something to be thankful for. There's always something to be thankful for. Have fellowship with somebody. Call somebody up and give them some good news for a change. There is an infinite amount of power that is available to us when we learn the true meaning of fellowship. Everybody.